This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices Hot Topics episode number 4 was originally recorded on January 27th, 2020. This updated version was re-recorded on January 28th, 2020. I'm Eric Townsend. The coronavirus outbreak that began in Wuhan, China in early December, and which has become known as 2019 NCOV, is the subject of today's podcast. Quite a few listeners interpreted some of my comments in the original version to mean that I didn't think this was a very big deal. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The reason for the updated version is both to clarify my language and meaning, and also to incorporate some new information that I've learned from several of our listeners since the first version was recorded just 24 hours earlier. Obviously, the most important aspects of this story are the humanitarian impacts on all of the people around the world being affected by this disease, and our hearts go out to everyone worldwide who has been affected either directly or indirectly by the virus. But our job at Macro Voices is to translate world events into their likely impact on financial markets, so that will be the focus of today's podcast. I've spent most of the past weekend learning as much as I possibly can about this situation, and I've learned quite a bit more just in the last 24 hours since the first version of this podcast was released. I'll share what I've learned in this updated short podcast. There is no guest today, it's just me, and I want to be crystal clear that I'm absolutely not an expert on the subject of viral epidemiology. I'm simply doing my best to share what I've learned in researching this subject with our Macro Voices audience. We've scheduled Dr. Chris Martinson, a PhD in viral pathogen toxicology from Duke University, to join us on Thursday night's Macro Voices podcast. So be sure to tune in for an update on Thursday night, by which time we should know much more than we do now. Needless to say, Dr. Martinson is many times more qualified than I am to opine on such matters. The executive summary is that I predict this virus will be a lot more contagious than most people now expect, and that it will infect more people around the world than most people have assumed. If there's any good news, it's this. Early indications are that the fatality rate so far is much lower than SARS. But what I didn't know when the first version of this podcast was recorded yesterday is that SARS-2 had a relatively low fatality rate early in the development of the epidemic, when the case count was about where we are right now with NCOV. More on that later in this podcast. So the outlook is for a very large number of people around the world to be affected by this outbreak. But my expectation is that fears of the sky falling because everyone's going to die from the virus are exaggerated. The vast majority of the people who contract 2019 NCOV will survive that experience. Most financial analysts seem obsessed with comparisons between 2019 NCOV and the 2003 SARS epidemic. SARS involved just over 8,000 cases and 800 deaths, and most analysts seem to be focused on the question of whether 2019 NCOV will be worse than SARS or not as bad as SARS. I think they're focusing on the wrong comparison. Now, what I said in the first version of this podcast was that a better analog would be to the flu season that occurs every single year, with between 9 million and 45 million cases and between 12,000 and 60,000 deaths every single year in the United States alone, according to CDC estimates. All indications are that 2019 NCOV could cause 2020 to be a record bad flu season, with more cases and more deaths than any normal year. But the characteristics of 2019 NCOV are more in line with a really bad seasonal flu than a SARS-like epidemic, which involved an extremely high fatality rate, but a relatively small number of cases overall. Many listeners interpreted those comments to mean that I thought this was no big deal, just a really bad flu season and nothing much to worry about. Nothing could be farther from the truth or from my intended meaning. The reason for my comparison to seasonal flu was simply to make the point that unlike SARS, which was easily contained and only infected 8,000 people, it looks like NCOV will probably infect millions of people and will kill many times more people than SARS killed, not less. The point of my statement was to say that unlike SARS, NCOV is going to infect more people, not less. The good news, if there is any, is that so far, the fatality rate appears to be much lower than SARS' ultimate fatality rate of 11%. But what I didn't know when I recorded the first version yesterday was that SARS only had a 3.48% fatality rate at a comparable time in the development of the SARS outbreak to where we are today with NCOV. I'll come back to that later on. The most important aspect of 2019 NCOV to understand is one which very few people seem to understand. It's something called asymptomatic transmission. Simply put, this means that people who are infected by NCOV become contagious very quickly and can spread the virus to other people they come in contact with. But there's a long incubation period before any symptoms occur. What this means is that you can be infected with NCOV, and you can be infecting other people that you come into contact with for as long as a week before you yourself even realize that you're sick. And it could be as long as 2 weeks before your symptoms become bad enough that you feel inclined to seek medical attention, at which point you would discover that you actually have NCOV after medical testing. In contrast, SARS only became contagious after symptoms appeared, and that made it much easier to identify and quarantine people who were contagious. The contagiousness of a virus is measured by a figure called R0, or R0. This refers to the number of people a contagious person will infect if no precautions are taken to prevent such infection. And remember, with 2019 NCOV, the people who are contagious generally won't know that they're contagious, so effective precautions are only likely to be undertaken after the epidemic grows to a scale, as it already has in China, where just about everyone is taking precautions to avoid infection from everyone they come into contact with. An R0 value of 1 means that each contagious person is likely to infect one other person in the community around them. An R0 of 2 means one contagious person will infect 2 people in their community, and so forth. The most contagious diseases, such as measles, have R0 values as high as 18, meaning one contagious person can infect 18 people around them unless precautions are taken to prevent that contagion. A Harvard University epidemiologist posted a Twitter thread this past weekend that began with the words, "Holy Mother of God." He declared that 2019 NCOV had an R0 value of 3.8, which is even more contagious than SARS. But that thread brought considerable criticism from other scientists who said he was being alarmist. Within hours, the author of the thread acknowledged that the value of 3.8 that he had cited was based on a study of incomplete data, and that perhaps 2.5 might be a more realistic value for R0 for NCOV. The bottom line is that all these figures are being clouded by the dubious reliability of all statistics sourced from the Chinese government, and scientists are not yet certain exactly what the R0 value is for 2019 NCOV. Initial indications are that it's probably somewhere between 2 and 5, but there's a very big difference between 2 and 5. So we just don't know yet how contagious this virus will be, but initial indications are that it will be quite contagious. Now, here's the really important part. The case count has been growing at an exponential rate, at a pace of almost one full order of magnitude per week. The most important thing to understand here is that it's an exponential progression. In other words, if we went from 400 cases to 4,000 cases in just over a week, that's 3,600 more cases. But if the exponential progression continues, that does not mean 3,600 more cases in the next week. Rather, it would imply that we'll see another times 10 multiplication from 4,000 cases to 40,000 cases just a little more than a week later, and then 400,000 cases a little more than a week after that, and then 4 million cases a little bit more than a week after that. So the most important thing to watch is going to be whether the case count continues to grow on an exponential trajectory as it has in recent days. But there are good reasons to question whether it will. One distinct possibility is that the reason for the sudden increase in cases in the last week is simply that the Chinese government is finally fessing up to the existence of cases that they may have known about for many weeks. That could create the illusion of exponential growth in the case count, even if the spread of infection isn't really as bad as the numbers seem to imply. So the most critical thing to watch in coming days and weeks is whether the case count continues to grow exponentially. The good news in this story, if there is any, is that the fatality rate for 2019 NCOV is currently being estimated between 3 and 4%, as compared with 11%, which was the ultimate fatality rate for SARS. So at first glance, the big picture conclusion here is to expect far more cases than SARS produced, but with a much lower fatality rate. But hold the presses. What I didn't know when I recorded the first version of this podcast yesterday is that when the SARS case count was just over 2,000 cases, in other words, where we were just a couple days ago with NCOV, at that time, SARS only had a 3.48% fatality rate. The fatality rate for SARS grew over time as the epidemic progressed and eventually became 11%. Remember that the denominator of the fatality rate calculation is the case count, and the case count has been growing exponentially. From the first presentation of symptoms and diagnosis to critical ICU-level care, there's about a 16-day lag time. That means that dividing the current death toll by the current case count doesn't really make sense. The current case count includes a whole bunch of new cases that were just diagnosed. Those people couldn't possibly be dead yet. So some of those people are going to die, but not for at least a couple more weeks. And of course, by then, the case count, if it continues to progress exponentially, will be much higher, and the calculation will still yield an invalid result. The real bottom line here is we don't know yet. So far, it looks like the fatality rate is much lower than SARS, which was also a coronavirus. But the statistics scientists are relying on come from the Chinese government, and the accuracy of the data is suspect, to say the very least. The bottom line is that there is good reason to hope that the fatality rate will be much lower than SARS, but we don't yet have sufficient data to conclude that to be the case with any degree of certainty. An essential point to understand is that the containment strategy that was used for SARS is completely ineffective for 2019 NCOV. SARS did not become contagious until symptoms presented, and this made it possible to contain the outbreak using simple techniques like fever monitoring, where airport security personnel would measure the body temperature of every arriving passenger and quarantine those who arrived running a fever. Dr. Chris Martinson has opined that this practice, which is already being undertaken in airports in response to NCOV, will be completely ineffective for NCOV because the vast majority of people who are carrying NCOV and transmitting it to others around them do not yet have any fever or any other symptoms. Dr. Martinson produced a short video about NCOV last week, and you can find the player link for that video on our homepage at macrovoices.com in the description of this podcast. We'll have a much more detailed update with Dr. Martinson on Thursday night's podcast. Now I'll discuss my own conclusions for what this is likely to mean for financial markets. The big disconnect I perceive is that most financial analysts seem to be focusing on deciding whether NCOV will or will not be worse than SARS, but they seem to assume that either way, it will have similar characteristics, a viral outbreak with a high fatality rate that in the very worst imaginable circumstances might involve a few tens of thousands of cases and at most a few thousand fatalities. As I explained before, I think they're looking at the situation the wrong way. NCOV is more likely to involve many, many more cases than SARS, perhaps millions or tens of millions of cases worldwide. Now, there's good reason to hope that the fatality rate will be much lower than SARS, but even that is not certain. The point is, that translates to completely different economic and market implications than would exist for a SARS-like virus. NCOV has the potential to completely overwhelm medical facilities worldwide, something that was never a risk with SARS. Now, hopefully the number of deaths will be much lower on a percentage basis, but you still have the potential to overwhelm the capability of systems to respond to the public need. A worthwhile analogy to consider is that the news media tends to freak out over a plane crash where a few hundred people die suddenly and violently all at once. It always makes front page news. But meanwhile, more than 10,000 people die every single year in drunk driving accidents in the United States alone. Very few of those accidents ever make the news because they lack the shock appeal of a plane crash. Think of SARS like a plane crash. It's a relatively small number of people that were affected, but it had a very high fatality rate. So just like an isolated plane crash, the whole thing was contained. It didn't affect that many people. NCOV is likely to make the 2020 flu season the most deadly on record, as if the police started giving drunk drivers a free bottle of whiskey instead of arresting them. So my advice is to stop trying to figure out whether NCOV is going to be a big plane crash or a little plane crash. It will be neither. It will have completely different characteristics. The seasonal flu kills more than 10 times as many people every single year than died from SARS. NCOV has the potential to spread as widely as the seasonal flu, as opposed to the plane crash event of SARS, which only affected 8,000 cases. If initial indications hold and NCOV has a 3% fatality rate, well, that's already several times worse than the seasonal flu, which has a fatality rate below 1%. But if NCOV's fatality rate grows over time the way the SARS fatality rate grew over time, it could be even worse. There doesn't appear to be any way to truly contain NCOV short of either completely avoiding exposure to other people or taking precautions such as wearing N95 grade face masks at all times when interacting with other people. Because of asymptomatic transmission, the methods used in the SARS epidemic simply won't work to contain NCOV. It's likely that airline travel will slow down dramatically, first as a result of voluntary choice not to travel. But if the outbreak grows as quickly as some people fear, in the worst-case scenario, the only viable response may be a complete global travel ban, which could have unthinkable implications on certain industries. So the potential risk is of a global NCOV outbreak akin to a much deadlier-than-usual seasonal flu. The regular seasonal flu already kills tens of thousands of people every single year, and it does that without crippling the global economy. But there's a psychological factor that's very difficult to measure or anticipate. Nobody thinks twice about traveling or interacting with other people in society for fear of dying from the seasonal flu. Now, of course, those deaths really do occur, but they're not out of the ordinary, and they don't cause anyone to panic. So let's suppose, for the sake of discussion, that NCOV results in a much worse flu season, with twice or three times the number of flu-related deaths that we see in a normal season. A 100% or even 200% exacerbation of the economic impacts of flu season by itself, frankly, is kind of an economic non-event, even if tens of thousands of deaths were to occur. We already have tens of thousands of deaths every single year from seasonal flu. But if there is a perception of heightened risk that affects human emotion, we could literally see the entire airline industry grind to a halt as the world panics and people are unwilling to travel, regardless of whether or not their fears are justified by the actual risks. the news media are certain to focus attention on NCOV-related deaths, unlike the tens of thousands of annual deaths from seasonal flu, which are completely ignored by the media. At first glance, the crude oil market appears to be perhaps the biggest financial victim due to the travel-related implications of NCOV's asymptomatic transmission characteristics. OPEC is already evaluating the possibility of deeper production cuts to prevent a crash in crude oil prices. But keep in mind that U.S. shale production is already at record high levels and is unlikely to slow down because of the virus. If there is a significant slowdown of global commerce, Russia will have great difficulty participating on equal footing in a deeper OPEC plus production cut. And Saudi Arabia is very unlikely to be willing to bear the burden of production cuts alone. So the path for OPEC to contain a crude oil price decline is paved with obstacles, to say the very least. Estimating the impact of NCOV on global equity markets is difficult. Suppose, for sake of discussion, that the true impact of NCOV is to double or even quadruple the economic impact of seasonal flu that occurs every single year. By itself, that's not saying much. The impact of seasonal flu on the global economy is barely even paid attention to by financial analysts, despite that it causes tens of thousands of deaths every single year. But what if those extra deaths caused by NCOV were to get plane crash level media attention instead of drunk driving level media attention? Suddenly, human fascination growing to obsession could cause a relatively mild economic event to become the focus of a global panic. When viewed in isolation, considering only the direct impacts that the virus will have on global economic activity, it's unlikely that global GDP will be directly affected in a way that would truly warrant tremendous downside in stocks. Please remember that any time a war breaks out, at first, everyone panics and sells stocks. Oh my God, a war is breaking out. Sell everything. But then cooler heads realize that wars are always inflationary and consume a lot of goods and services in the war effort. The stock market usually recovers very quickly and moves to new highs before the war is over. SARS happened in 2003 at the bottom of a bear market in stocks. The market was already oversold by most measures, and despite its plane crash characteristics, SARS actually marked the beginning of a bull run in stocks. But NCOV has arrived at a time when many analysts already thought equity valuations were stretched. Put another way, global stock markets may be far more vulnerable to the appearance of a downside catalyst now than they were in 2003, and NCOV could be that catalyst. So my opinion is that if NCOV leads to a massive sell-off in stocks, it won't be because NCOV itself caused so much economic damages to warrant or cause that sell-off. Rather, it will be because the market was overdue for a deep correction or even a cyclical bear market, and because NCOV simply provided the catalyst and source of fear and panic needed to bring about that already overdue bear market. Here are the most important things to pay attention to in coming days and weeks. First, watch the progression of case count, and particularly whether it continues to grow on an exponential trajectory. There are several possible reasons that the exponential trajectory observed to date could be a statistical anomaly. But here's what to watch for in case it's not. If the exponential trajectory does continue, we'll have 35,000 cases by February 1st and 650,000 cases by February 8th. Now, if that actually happens, I hate to say it, folks, but it's time to accept that this thing has global pandemic potential, and it's time to take appropriate precautions. But hopefully, we'll break free from the exponential trajectory in coming days, and the rate of case growth will stabilize on a shallower trajectory. The next thing to pay attention to is any further news from the scientific community about the R-naught and fatality rate figures for NCOV. Again, R-naught is a measure of how contagious the virus will be. The bottom line right now is they just don't know because they don't have enough data, and the data they do have is of dubious accuracy. As the case count grows, the data reliability will stabilize, and we should get much more accurate estimates for R-naught and the projected fatality rate. As I emphasized earlier, I am anything but an expert on viral epidemiology. I wanted to give you, our Macro Voices audience, a quick update on what I've learned so far myself. Please be sure to tune in for Thursday night's Macro Voices podcast, which you can find at macrovoices.com, when we'll be joined by Dr. Chris Martinson, a PhD in this field, who's also very well-versed in financial markets. Dr. Martinson should be able to fill in the blanks and go beyond my own knowledge of the subject matter, helping us to understand what NCOV could mean for the world, the global economy, and for financial markets. For the Macro Voices Podcast Network, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.